This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nally. Our guest this week is California 8th District Representative John Garamendi. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. America's sweetest industry creates jobs and provides a sustainably produced food ingredient. Learn more at sugaralliance.org. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with Congressman John Garamendi next. America's 11,000 sugar beet and sugarcane farmers count on a strong U.S. sugar policy to keep American consumers supplied with an essential ingredient. Better yet, it's designed to cost taxpayers nothing. These farmers support more than 151,000 jobs throughout the sugar supply chain in both urban and rural communities. They contribute over $23 billion to the economy each year and help keep it sweet in America. Learn how the Farm Bill supports sugar crop farmers and workers at sugaralliance.org. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. California 8th District Representative John Garamendi has significant concerns about the Trump administration's efforts to downsize government and cut spending. As a farmer himself and concerned humanitarian, Garamendi believes essential services, nutritional aid, and research are being sacrificed to fund tax cuts for the wealthy.
The Republican Reconciliation Bill sets the stage for a disaster in agriculture. It is a mechanism that is going to be used to hollow out key programs that the agricultural community has been depended upon. For example, USAID and the use of USAID to purchase surplus commodities. For California, we're looking at $126 million of rice purchases that are not going to be done for the food aid programs. That's just one example. The rest of it has to do with agricultural research. And I am very, very concerned if they're looking for the big dollars, they're going to get into the support programs and the programs that are been in existence for 30 years that deal with conservation. So all of this is at risk, and the budget reconciliation bill sets the stage for the hollowing out of critical programs that agriculture has depended on for a long, long time. So there's much to worry about.
This week, Iowa Senator Charles Grassley suggested that at the time of the pandemic, the COVID pandemic, that then Secretary Vilsack appropriated $240 some billion in additional funding for SNAP. Mr. Grassley said that since the pandemic is over, those funds should be cut. How do you feel about taking those dollars away from nutrition?
Well, for agriculture, it's a big problem because the SNAP program is and does use agricultural products, many of which are in surplus, and it removes those surplus items from the market, and that helps agriculture. The other side of it is kids are hungry. We've got hungry children all across this nation, as well as parents. The SNAP program is critical to provide the food that people need simply to survive. So, go save money if you like hungry people, if you like agriculture not to have a place to send its products. Cut SNAP. It is a particularly dumb thing to do.
Some members of the House Freedom Caucus are interested in removing all of the IRA funds approved in the previous Congress. What would be the consequence of not following through with that approved legislation?
Well, there'd be two problems if the Freedom Caucus and frankly, the Trump administration has its way and stops the funding that is in the Inflation Reduction Act. I prefer to call it the climate crisis legislation. Agriculture has been a significant beneficiary of the effort to, well, dairies and other farm have been able to use the programs in the Inflation Reduction Act to capture methane that's generated at a dairy. And that's beneficial not only to the environment, but also to the bottom line, taking a waste product and turning it into a source of revenue. Those programs are at risk going forward. We also know that the IRA, not only green energy, but also grid technology, bringing into rural areas the necessary support for the distribution of energy, electrical energy, grid systems, big systems and small. So there's a very significant opportunity for agriculture in the IRA, taking waste products. For example, in California, we got a lot of almond hulls in California, turning those, which were simply a waste product, into an energy system that provides an additional source of revenue for agriculture. So, you know, if they want to do away with that, there are going to be a lot of unhappy farmers out there.
There are a number of Midwestern states that want to see those IRA funds, especially that would promulgate the development of more renewable fuel, including sustainable aviation fuel. They don't want to see those dollars go away. Are those renewable fuels important to your district and to your state?
Well, they certainly are. I have the challenge of representing all of Northern California's oil refineries, five of them. And two of those refineries, very large ones, are moving to renewable fuel. And the renewable fuel standards for aviation and others, as laid out in the IRA legislation and other legislation, have created an opportunity for these two very large refineries, and I'm talking international refineries, to transition to using agricultural products, some waste products and some oil from various sources, and successfully addressing a market that was or is created through the IRA. So it's not just the farmers that are providing the feedstock for the refinery, but also the refinery itself and the 2,000 or 3,000 highly skilled workers at the refinery who are finding a new opportunity for employment. I don't understand. I really do not understand the logic or the lack of thinking and logic that is being employed by those who want to do away with the IRA. I take this an additional direction. In my district, we have one of the major wind farms in Northern California. Now, those turbines have been deployed now for more than 20 years in that area, and every so often they are upgraded and replaced with new turbines. Beneath the turbines are a whole lot of happy sheep or cattle, and the farmers are able to also continue to grow in that particular area crops that they've grown for a century, various kinds of cereal crops. So these two things work together for the benefit of the farmers. They're generating renewable energy, in this case wind. The cattle are happy, the sheep are happy, and the farmers are happy continuing to grow the cereal crops.
The Trump administration seems intent on downsizing government, cutting wasteful spending. Some say those cuts and downsizing have been with broad strokes and not well thought.
The way you posed the question, it is thoughtless. It's simply a very crude and ultimately useless way of dealing with downsizing government. It is destructive and harmful to agriculture. For example, the research programs, which are fundamental to the continuation of agriculture, dealing with new threats of various kinds of diseases that find their way into agriculture, often from offshore other parts of the world, and how to address those. This is research program that's conducted at universities across the nation so that the agricultural productivity can be maintained in the face of continuing threats of all kinds. For example, bird flu. Oh my, we're going to stop the research on that. Really? We're going to remove the people that are in the field doing the day-to-day analysis of threats and the existence of bird flu in the various agricultural enterprises around the nation. And that's just one example. And when the U.S. Department of Agriculture is being hollowed out by senseless firings of people that are in the probationary period, and that's just stupid. Elon Musk and his sledgehammer wielding it, taking great glee and then going to a cabinet meeting and saying, oh, boy, we did a great job. Oh, we made a mistake, but we've corrected it. They didn't correct it, but it is going to create a crisis somewhere. In agriculture, there are risks of every conceivable kind, and we need to have a very strong defense And what Musk is doing in the Department of Agriculture, what he's done in other agencies, is removed that defensive mechanism and created chaos, and the people that need to do the work have been fired. It is stupid.
Congressman, some of the cuts that would purport happening at USDA might as well affect research, and certainly rice is important to your state. It's important to the nation. How do you see the connection between opportunities that might arrive in research and those dollars being left to the wayside?
Well, the rice issue is extremely important. In my previous district, I had 500,000 acres, and it was a $775 million part of the state's economy. What we do know is that the tariff issues, the USAID issue, all address this particular industry. And added to that is the question of research. The University of California, Davis, which I represented and still pay a great deal of attention to, is, together with about a handful of other agricultural research institutions around the nation, at risk. The way in which research has been paid for by the federal government is in jeopardy. And therefore, the ability of the universities and research stations around the nation to continue to provide research for agriculture and address the multiple challenges that agriculture has in various kinds of diseases, as well as in looking to be more productive in the era of climate change, is at risk. All of this is being done without thoughtful research of what are you doing here? What is the program? What are the benefits? What are the costs and the like? So that research program must continue. And the disruption is now. Programs that were funded, the funding is stopped. And once again, we find the Trump administration creating chaos that will have a very significant adverse effect on agriculture. Anybody that has an agricultural district ought to have their hair on fire, because it is here and now.
Congressman, Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins said that she welcomed DOGE at USDA, but that also has included some firing of individuals at the Forest Service, which could easily leave California open to additional wildfires.
Well, that's just one piece of it. The hiring of the seasonal workers for the U.S. Forest Service and the National Parks and the Bureau of Land Management has stalled and probably terminated. We don't know where this will ultimately go. But right now, those seasonal firefighters for the Forest Service, for the Bureau of Land Management, for the National Park Service, is stopped, not going forward. This is the training period. This is the time when the new folks coming in, and those who have been around a while, get additional training, so that when the fire season begins, which is in California, 365 days a year, they're not going to be there. And it's going to be a major problem. And there are other programs that are equally important, and this is the funding for the ongoing effort to reduce the fire risk in the urban wildland interface area. Those funds are stopped. Will they eventually be forthcoming? We don't know. And this is the chaos. We do know that the fire in the Palisades in Los Angeles began in an urban wildland interface area. There have been ongoing efforts. I was involved in this in the 1990s when I was Deputy Secretary at the Department of Interior. We set up a program to try to reduce that risk, and it's been ongoing. Unfortunately, for the Palisades area, the fire occurred in a specific area that was to be treated this year. So, you remove those funds? Well, we've got Paradise, we have Altadena, we have the Palisades, we have other areas of California where this is at risk, and it is in my new district. My new district has a very significant wildland interface risk. Funding that we were going to use is not available now.
Congressman, you mentioned USAID at the top of our conversation. I'd like to specifically move into that now. What are your thoughts about this administration dismantling USAID? They found some areas that appeared wasteful, but are there other areas of this facet of government that are worth saving?
This is personal. This is very, very personal for my wife, Patty, and I. We were Peace Corps volunteers in the 1960s, and the USAID was about 4 years old at that time. And one of the funding programs that they did was to fund the United Nations effort to eradicate smallpox. Patty and I spent a full month in the most remote part of Ethiopia. No electricity, no water, no roads, but a whole lot of people that were vaccinated in an effort to eradicate smallpox. And it was successful. Smallpox exists in just a very few areas of the world. And the elimination of the USAID programs and other programs that deal with pandemics will guarantee that we're going to have another COVID crisis. May or may not be COVID. It may be Ebola. There's an Ebola outbreak in Uganda now. And the USAID funding for people, for experts, doctors and others, to go to Kampala and work on stopping that Ebola outbreak. They're not going. There's no funding for it. And Ebola, therefore, is probably 15 hours away from Dulles Airport. And that's only one of dozens of threats that exist. There's a second piece of this. My wife, Patty, has been involved in the effort to deal with hunger around the world. The dismantling of USAID support for people that are starving is unconscionable, particularly since it was done by the richest man in the world. This is Elon Musk at the worst. He's got so much money that he just doesn't need to care about people that are starving. Well, he ought to care about them because he is literally killing people today around the world that are starving. So he took his sledgehammer and decided he was going to go after USAID. It is just a horrible situation that he has created. The food programs at USAID, and here's where the farmers of America work, save people that are starving around the world. It's beyond understanding. Well, take your damn airplane and fly to any one of the famine camps in northern Kenya or in Ethiopia or in Somalia or in Sudan or in Southeast Asia and hold a starving child in your hands. And you look at the extended belly. You look at the limbs of which there is nothing except skin. And you look at the vacant eyes. And then you decide that you want to dismantle. You want to do away with the waste, fraud, and abuse in USAID and then come back to America and see if that's really what you want to do. It's awful. But the richest man in the world didn't understand the role that USAID has in keeping people alive that are starving. I've been in those famine camps, and I've held a child. I've worked there, as have my wife, and we know. We know how important this is. Unless you just don't care, and maybe that's it. Maybe there's no sense of humanity in that individual. And by the way, why don't you take the president with you and then decide that you want to dismantle this program in which American farmers used to provide the grain that kept people alive?
Congressman, trade is important to the U.S. and to California, and this administration is using tariffs again and threatening tariffs for Canada and for Mexico. Some members of the GOP say they're taking a wait-and-see approach to the methods. What say you?
Well, first of all, put your big boy pants on and stop it. If you're a senator or a Republican senator or a Republican member of Congress, put your big boy pants on and stand up for what you know is right and what needs to be done. And don't be timid in the face of Trump. If you're a senator, you may have 6 years out ahead of you, and two of those, Trump will be gone. Come on, guys. You know what's right. You know what needs to be done. So pay attention to your constituents. And even more so, pay attention to your knowledge and your heart. And what's going on here is just plain wrong in both humanitarian as well as in economic realm. What do we have out ahead of us? We have an administration that is moving forward on tariffs. And we've seen this movie. We saw it in 2017, 18, 19, and we saw the effect of it. The effect was tit for tat. We went after China. China went after us. And the markets for California rice, California products, almonds and on, simply stopped. were significantly diminished. We're going to go back through that again. And by the way, that cost the taxpayer some $25 billion to backfill the losses that American agriculture had as a result of the stupidity of the tariffs that were in and the trade war that was initiated by Trump. And here we go again. And I would suggest this time it's going to be even worse, given that it's our neighbors.
Congressman, Capitol Hill is 2 years late on approving a farm bill that's been extended twice now. Chairman Thompson said before the NASDA that if there is not a farm bill by June, he'll likely be back in Washington asking for economic assistance again. What are your thoughts on approving a new farm bill, and would you support the portion of it that would provide a fix for Proposition 12 that came from your state? Is that a thorny issue?
Well, the bottom line here is that the farm bill is out of date, even without Trump and the chaos that he's creating. We need a new farm bill. The world has changed. The agricultural situation in America has changed, as has the international issues. One of those is how do you deal with states like California that have set up their own limitations on agriculture. Prop 12, for example. Are we simply going to have to work our way through that? Is it likely that Prop 12 is going to be changed? Probably not, at least in the near term, and certainly not this year. We don't even have a statewide election this year. Can we deal with that? Of course we can. Is it make it more complex? Yes, but I would suggest that that the Farm Bill is not going to change Prop 12, and therefore, how can the Farm Bill address that issue? And that's going to take significant thought and understanding. And the issues of Prop 12 are not only found in California. Those issues, and I disagree with virtually everything in Prop 12, but it's where we are. This issue of Prop 12, or the issues that led to Prop 12, are not going to go away. And so we have to take account of that, not only in writing the Farm Bill, but in dealing with its reality in California. And we are.
Well, Congressman Garamendi, we want to thank you for your service to agriculture and certainly your work on behalf of your constituents and your state of California. Thanks for taking time out of a busy schedule to be with us on this edition of Open Mic. Congressman, it is Open Mic, and today you've got the last word.
Well, the last word is that the problems that have been created by the president and by Elon Musk affect agriculture in many, many ways. And what must happen is that the elected representatives, whether they are in an agricultural area or whether they are in an urban area that is dependent upon the availability of food for low-income people, SNAP program and the like, we have got to stand up. We absolutely have to push back. Now, this is not about making government smaller. This is about destroying programs that are absolutely critical to the sustainment of life, and certainly to the sustainment of the economic enterprise of agriculture in the fields and across the nation.
Our thanks to California 8th District Representative John Garamendi, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. America's sweetest industry creates jobs and provides a sustainably produced food ingredient. Learn more at sugaralliance.org. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nally.